Are you ready for some meatball?
The 2020 NFL draft is in the books. Of course, it was a very different draft this time with everyone being in their living rooms and on their phones and tablets and everything. But hey, watching it, I thought a very good job was done to make it seem, you know, as normal as possible. So kudos to all the broadcasters and stations that carry the draft this year. Hopefully we won't have to do that again. So, where do the Bears stand? How did they address the holes that they needed to fill? Did they address those enough? Did they get some roster depth for the future? I want to talk about all these things and more with my good buddy and fellow Bears fan, Dr. Mark Jansen. So, let's bring him in and talk some Bears.
Oh. Greetings. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Bear Down, my friend.
Bear Down.
So, I would love to pick your brain about how the Bears did this weekend in the draft.
Alrighty.
Even though we were texting the whole time, I want to get it on recording.
I'd like to pick your brain publicly. Mostly like it.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to start with the good or the bad or...
Well, actually, can we start with just briefly touching on what happened north of the Cheddar Curtain?
Yes.
Yeah.
It warms my heart seeing all the Bears C-minus grades balanced by the Packers F grades, as if anyone cares what some idiot on the New York Post does with his draft grades or whatever. But they're getting slammed by everyone. It's hard to imagine everyone is wrong that badly about that many players.
Here's what I'm having trouble understanding. Believe me, I love seeing turmoil in Green Bay. You know, it warms the cockles of my heart.
Of course.
But how do you look at this team that the quarterback, that Aaron Rodgers, carried to the NFC Championship by himself, and it was obvious that they were outmanned, outclassed by the 49ers at pretty much 21 other positions. Maybe that's an exaggeration. But how do you not look at the team and say, okay, we need to get this quarterback who carried us this far a couple weapons?
I don't know.
Instead, you go out and you pick his replacement? I'm befuddled.
It's pretty wonderful. Let's start with the replacement because the salary cap era ramifications with lengths of deals there is nothing short of remarkable. Aaron Rodgers has 4 years left, which means at that point they have to also know if they're picking up Love's fifth-year option, i.e. the same boat the Bears are in now, and that option will be a lot of money. But if they trade Rodgers, they really can't until like the third year out of those four without it being a massive cap hit. So then they're going to start Love. They're going to get maybe a year with him or two, and then they're going to have to figure out if they're signing him.
Whew.
That's if they trade Rodgers. Rodgers has also talked about playing until he's 40. He could demand a trade at this point, and I don't think it would really shock anyone now.
Agreed.
It's pretty remarkable that they did that now, because this is not – everyone wants to compare it to Favre, and yes, the idea that Green Bay is smart enough to have a backup young QB ready to roll is something I wish the Bears did way more often, but their timing is terrible. Favre was giving them the runaround about retiring every year. Rodgers is like, I'm playing till I'm 40.
Mm-hmm.
They're not comparable other than the generic same team thing. Otherwise, the situations are very different, and it's a
very
pretty bad idea.
Especially when you consider the fact that Rodgers in 05 fell to Green Bay.
I was just going to mention.
Everybody was shocked that he, you know, wasn't a top five, top 10 pick.
Yeah,
he
a top five-ish pick fell to 24. Here you're getting the fourth QB.
They traded up.
And they traded up.
They traded up for a project. I just I don't understand.
I can look at it from another lens. If the Bears had been determined to pick a QB, more on that later, I suppose, and this was the one they wanted and they traded up for him, I'd have been mad because I think he's totally not worth a trade up. Mm-hmm. And then for Green Bay to do it and piss off their franchise, I mean, he's the only reason they're any good. Can we be honest?
Yeah.
They're a 5-win team without him. Even if he wasn't as good as he normally is last year, he's still totally ridiculous and very, very good.
Yeah, that's why I said last year he carried them to their NFC Championship appearance.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, but I think it's worth reiterating. That's a 13-win team on par with the 0-1 Bears, where you're like, they should have lost there and there and there, and this looks more like it probably should have been like a 10-win team, in which case you're not that great. They acted like they're set, and I think every expert – analyzing the draft or just the league is saying, just about all of them are saying, yeah, NFC Championship, but you got totally blasted.
Bulldozed.
You've done nothing to improve.
Well, they drafted their quarterback of the future and a backup running back.
Yes. So they're two of their three best players, they drafted guys to sit behind them. The other best player, they need to draft someone to play opposite him, wide receiver. And they didn't really do that.
Would a good comp for the Bears be if they traded up to draft a edge rusher?
Perhaps.
Would that be a good comp? Like, hey, we made this big trade for Khalil Mack.
I mean, if you're talking first round and the cost that takes, because they did trade up for an edge rusher.
No. I mean, first round.
Yeah. Maybe. Like I think it's even worse, though, because as much as I love Khalil Mack, and as much as I think edge rusher is the second or third most important position, he's still not impacting your chances to win to the same extent that Aaron Rodgers is. Nor does he have like 15 years of history with the team.
So there is no good comp then.
It's what the pretty Packers stinking did, dumb. No That's the point is, everyone's like, this is stupid. And Rodgers is shame, not man. The type to take this well. I think we've learned that the last couple of years about his competitive nature. He's got the Jordan D-bag gene, I think. Blasphemy, but just say it. This is not going to end well.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Either Love is never going to get a chance and be labeled a bust, which will be unfair for the poor guy, or Rodgers will throw a fit and be gone in a couple years or sooner.
Yeah. And the one thing you can't do that people – you mentioned this already. Some people are already saying, this is a good move because they did this with Favre and Rodgers. Therefore, it's going to work again. Because
everything's the same. Guarantee. They have the same coaches. Right. It's like this, there's no comp there other than the same organization.
No. Not at all.
And no. People didn't like the running back they picked. That was getting panned left and right too.
Oh, it's such a shame. Such a real shame.
Yeah, boy. It really hurts me. I see all those Green Bay Packers draft picks getting slammed.
Well, let's move south back to the good side of the Cheddar Curtain. To the lakefront. Just get on the lakefront. Talk about the beloved. And, so no first-round pick. And then they pretty much surprised just about everyone that I've read or talked to in taking Cole Kmet.
I think some of the athletic guys were pretty keen on Kmet. I guess the bad is I don't think they improved the O-line enough at all this offseason. Maybe that's a different conversation at the end of this interview podcast thing to have. But the way the draft fell, the runner receivers – early, I feel like Kmet's a pretty solid pick, and I really like Jalen Johnson. Assuming he's healthy, he should not have been there. Everyone's like, "Oh, first round grade," but he had the shoulder thing. But he only missed two games with the shoulder issue, so I feel like he's tough enough to play through it.
Yeah,
and so I think they got two day one starters pretty much, which also tells you about
can't really be mad about that.
But you can't be mad if you get two starters in the second.
Especially when it's two positions that you didn't know who your starters were going to be at those positions.
Yeah,
we probably assume that Graham would have been the starting tight end.
Well, he's going to be the U, and Kmet will be the Y.
Yeah.
So is it Kmet or Kmet?
I thought it was Kmet. Maybe it's Kmet.
I think it's Kmet. And then in Egyptian hieroglyphs, fun fact for the day, Kemet is their word for Egypt in hieroglyphs. So like every time I see his name, I think, oh, it's Cole Egypt.
Interesting. Well,
there you go. The only kind of content you can get, that kind of content, I mean, only here.
That's right. That's right. Anyway. I thought his name sounded a little Klingon, you know, Kork.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that to it, too. But I think he's raw at certain things, but some of the, like, I watched a little tape after they pick him, right? Because that's when it's more interesting at that point for us amateur professional analysts.
Uh-huh.
And he runs through people. He is a hoss when he actually has the ball. Does not look like an Adam Shaheen lumbering oaf situation.
No, he doesn't. And when he does get hit, he still manages to fall forward for 2-3 yards.
Yes, and not least, break. That's also a good trait.
Yeah, or not try to leap over like a hurdle.
Yeah.
Like Shaheen did in that Eagles playoff game. Oh, I still can't.
They cut Dex Redmond today. And I'm like, when's the Shaheen one coming? You still trying to trade him? Because it ain't going to happen.
Who's going to trade
him? By the way, while we're on this for just a second, I'm so tired of the Bears have too many tight ends narrative. Now, some of the jokes are funny. Like, I saw on Twitter some random person had retweeted it. And there's like the parade by Cole Kmet's house. You see that, the whole thing where Arlington came out to support him. And then the guy comments. Cool. And that was just the Bears tight ends. There's a whole other group of people.
Nice.
But quit acting like they're going to keep 10 tight ends. Everyone's like, oh, they got too many tight ends. They're going to cut half of them. Relax. If they have 10 tight ends in September, I'll be as mad as anyone. Or whenever our season starts.
Yeah, it's like, settle down. Every team starts with what? Like 80, 90 something at the beginning of summer camp?
Yeah, that's going to be a ton of cuts. Mm-hmm. And now you know your U is Graham, your Y, which are different positions in the Andy Reid tree. Those guys are set as Graham and Kmet. You've got the guy they signed. He's going to back up everybody. I can't remember what his name is. Demetrius something? Anyway, he was on the Chiefs for a while. He's usually the blocking guy. He's your goal line running play, short yardage guy. And then you're going to figure out of the platter of garbage the rest of them basically amount to at this point in their NFL lives, which other two to keep.
Yeah, not worried. No Bears fans should be worried. No Bears fans should be upset that they have so many tight ends.
And I also like
Bears fans, if you're upset.
Kmet catches with his hands, I noticed a lot. I'm sure a lot of people that follow Notre Dame were aware of this. People are talking about Baby Gronk, and then I saw more people talking Witten. I was like, Witten. I can totally see the Witten. Sign me up.
That would not be bad.
Jason Witten, done.
Yeah. That would not be bad.
You think he's
going to
go setting records and having a 16 TD seasons? I think that's unrealistic.
Yeah. But I'll take it.
Yeah. So Johnson.
Johnson, what do you got to say about Johnson?
First round talent because the shoulder is probably the only real thing that you need to know. I mean, the guy is really good. And
I had no idea that Utah had such a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, that Pac-10
I don't watch much college football.
And,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I only really watch the major games, if I'm honest. Only thing I know really is what you're hearing on the radio and seeing on The Athletic and other places. And this has got to be one of the more universally loved picks ever made. The reaction to it reminds me of Goldman. Because at the time, they were like, this guy's really good. If he's healthy, there's no way he's not a first-round talent. And now they're saying the same thing. It's just a totally different position.
Yeah. And apparently, I think it's Johnson, not Vildor, the later pick, whose coverage percentage on deep passes is just insane. Like, the QB rating is under 10.
Yeah, he was
like
really good. Who did he play that he basically shut down? He shut down somebody else in this draft. Like, they had 20 yards against him. I can't remember who it was.
Nice.
But, like, one of the touted receivers. So, he certainly seems to be the real deal. They just interviewed him on The Score before we did this. He came across as pretty confident and, you know, had a brain. Sometimes the draft picks, when they interview, you're like, oh, dear, what are we doing here? We remain nameless. But... yeah, I think he's a great pick. I mean, if he's healthy, it's a home run. Hopefully, you know, the shoulder quits being an issue. The Anthony Miller thing gives me pause because I feel like we're kind of in that same scenario now, but he keeps playing through it too. Mm-hmm. And they need a corner. Yeah. Can I put one other rant on Black
here? Please do.
I'm so tired of hearing about how the Bears' biggest need going into the draft was safety. You're out of your mind. The NFL doesn't care about safeties if they – well, box safeties. You've got Eddie Jackson at the part that matters there. Your box safety is basically irrelevant. It doesn't – look at how they don't pick them, and they pick tons of corners.
Yes.
And the Bears poo-poo platter at corner could be good. I don't know if any of these guys are going to pan out. I know one was in Canada. That's probably a reason for that, though I really hope he's – because I think it's an awesome story. One was a cut former first-rounder by the Steelers, and aren't they just the model of an organization too incompetent to keep their own? No, wait. That's not the Steelers. So he got cut for a reason. There's just no reason to think the starter was on the roster there. And it's a more important position, so it's absolutely the right position to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Especially the way the NFL goes, especially the way the division is. You know, you got Rodgers – and you got Kirk Cousins, and you got Matt Stafford, who are all going to chuck the ball down the
field. And you're going to be playing three and four corners constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a strong safety, his best thing is going to be against the run. And the Bears' front seven, as we know, is pretty outstanding. So I agree with you. People saying, oh, they still needed a strong safety. They need to get it. No.
And the other thing that just kills me. Not the kid. Kills me there is they're like, we can't bring back Ha Ha Clinton Dix because it's too redundant with Eddie. Hey, why didn't they pick a good cover safety in the second? Like, what? You just went through this. We wanted Eddie to play center field. So it would be really pretty dumb to use a resource like a second round pick on a box safety. A strong safety. Now, you want to use a later one? I don't care. But corner was absolutely a bigger need. I would also say O-line, though, and that's where the disappointment with the draft comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere there was going to be a disappointment. That's just the reality of limited picks. Yeah, so if they had picked in the fifth round or seventh round a safety, I'm okay with that. But yeah, not a second rounder, not a second rounder.
And
all right, so let's skip down third round, nothing, fourth round, nothing, and then in the fifth they get Trevis Gipson, outside linebacker, pass rusher out of Tulsa.
Okay, like everyone else listening, I'd never heard of this guy. I took a few minutes to hit the old highlight reel, which always makes a prospect look good, and then tried to read some of the better draft analysts like Bolger on The Athletic and a few others. And people are actually thinking he should not have been available that late. It was a weird draft.
So that's two.
So that's another guy. He's two like late third into the fourth round. I love it.
So two out of the first three Bears picks, you say, are should not have been there. We got better value than for the position.
Yeah, which is why it's weird that they give them, like, a bad grade overall. But I think this is a clear case of best available. I think Hub was the one talking about that, and I totally agree. I think it's interesting to think about edge rusher, tackle, and QB as positions that you should be drafting every couple years, which, of course, they haven't been doing. So, yeah, okay, you got Quinn and Mac. You don't need an edge rusher. No, you don't need a starter if they're healthy. But it can't hurt to always be developing a guy in the second or third most position, important position.
Yeah, especially when Quinn is 32,
he's 30, I think. But I think he's 31 during the season, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so if you can get two, maybe 3 years out of him before age starts catching up with him, and then, you know, Gibson's ready at that point
that's
to slide
a great
in.
Idea.
Yeah, that's
and, yeah. And let's not forget how often your third edge rusher plays.
Well, they're going to be rotating guys in.
Because players need to take breathers, and so you've got at least a talent there to go alongside Arcavius Mingo. Hopefully he'll actually beat him out for that third edge rusher spot. I mean, you're talking this round, like it's – of course it's a crapshoot. That's why they're in the fifth round.
Yeah. Now, does it bother you that Pace is picking guys from Utah, Tulsa, Tulane, like it does some other people, or at least some fans, I guess. Seems like, why aren't they taking more guys from LSU and Alabama?
Okay, well, for starters, I think Utah doesn't deserve to be in there. That's a Pac-12 school that was actually top 10 at one point last year, and they have a great defense, and they've been churning out decent NFL prospects, at least on defense, for a couple of years. So he's fine there. Notre Dame is, of course, fine, although you could argue you really don't want a Notre Dame skill player over the years.
If they could have them.
I don't know. In late rounds, I don't think I much care where you get the guy. I mean, I didn't care about Tariq Cohen being from wherever he was. Once you saw what he could do, you're like, oh, that's a pretty interesting gadget player, which they then turned into the main part of the offense, which is a different problem. But I think you can say, well, some of these small school guys may actually be better than you realize, and that's where you're trying to kind of get them there. You could not go wrong with, you know, SEC has to do it. It's not a story. Unless you're reaching for a guy no one's heard of, or a school no one's heard of in the second round.
Yeah. I was just curious. Just wondered what your thoughts were.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do think your early picks would be nice if they're definitely established. Less stuff there, which I thought he did.
Okay. What about Kindle Vildor? What's the book on Kindle?
Don't know any much about it.
Eh?
Yeah, you're there? Terrible. I didn't read that. I mean,
because like Kindle is
the guy that the experts were saying was good value. I guess I don't love that position being picked twice because it's like, okay, now there are a ton of corners. I wonder. Words are hard. It immediately made me. If they're going to move Denmark, the guy from last year, to safety, the one that's like Tillman at safety narrative.
Yeah, I remember
that. I mean, the guy is huge for a corner, and he's raw for a corner, so can he tackle? Vildor looks like you're trying to develop a guy to play nickel when you cut Buster Skrine next year.
Yeah, I don't see Buster Skrine wearing a Bears jersey that much longer. Yeah,
a couple years, and they kind of save money.
Yeah. Hey, I'm kind of losing you. Is your mic flipping around or anything?
Fine, I think.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it was me moving my head back or something.
Yeah. Stop moving. All right. Wide receiver, Darnell Mooney out of Tulane.
I needed a burger.
I went 4.3840.
Apparently pretty crappy hands, because that's about the only way you're in the fifth round if you have that kind of speed.
Now, do you know that?
I read
that,
too.
Or you just assume? Oh, okay.
You know, I know these guys watch film for a living, these journalists, right, and the draft experts. But are you really telling me, like, a bunch of people watched all of this guy's games at Tulane?
Yeah, I would doubt it.
I think these things kind of take a life of their own. I have no idea. I don't know anything about him, just like the other fifth-round picks. I'm just trying to get into the logic roster-wise that you needed a speedy wide receiver.
Yes. Especially with cutting Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, and you didn't like the way it played out in the second round for one, so you got one later. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then in the seventh round, here's we finally get some picks to address the offensive line. Arlington Hembright, which that sounds like an aristocrat, you know. Arlington Hembright.
Come complete with the British Parliament, you know, Victorian era big with the white curly hair. I mean, great name.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And Lakavius Simmons out of Tennessee State. So neither one of these guys are going to be starters. 2 seventh-round picks. This is depth. This is take a step.
Finally, right? At least some sort of an effort there. I will say this. Do you know their nicknames? Did you see this? Oh, well, this is going to be great. Their nicknames are Pig and Ham, which means I demand that in a year or two, they are in fact a fixture on the Bears' right offensive line for the next decade. I'm officially rooting for this. Pig and Ham. It's just
this is before they came to the before they were drafted. Like they didn't get these nicknames.
No, that's their nicknames coming in. I have no idea why Lakavius last name is Pig. But Pig and Ham picked in consecutive picks in the seventh round. This is fate, Chris.
It might be. Well, I did not know that. Yeah, Ham Bright Ham. That makes sense.
Yeah, that one's pretty clear.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, these aren't going to be special teamers either, you know, big offensive linemen. So pretty much you're looking at backup line depth for these guys, at least the first year
or
two.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to get a starter out of one of them, you'd have pulled a Charles Leno out of the hat again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Were there any undrafted free agents that caught your eye? I haven't looked at any.
Of course, they signed Khalil Mack's brother.
Oh, my goodness. How did I forget that? Little Mack.
He's definitely smaller. He was an edge rusher at Buffalo, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, he'll have a pretty promising amateur boxing career if Nintendo is, you know, pretty. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a bad joke. Yeah. Little Mack. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, I think I texted this to you right after they signed him. It's just like when they signed Casey Urlacher back in 2003.
Except for this guy's got better achievements in college, from what I can tell. I mean, he had like 8 sacks last year. That's not terrible in a college season.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, Buffalo's better program than Lake Forest College. So, yeah.
But I mean, obviously the Mac connection cannot be, you know, ignored here.
That probably hit something.
I think I saw his measurables were like 5'11", 240. I'm like, that's inch shorter than me and about the same weight. And I'm definitely no edge rusher. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't quite fit the prototypical edge rusher. Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's another guy they're thinking about moving around. That sounds like more like a middle linebacker, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he's not going to make the team.
I don't think so. Yeah. It's a favorite of Khalil, and hopefully when you cut him,
right,
it's professional sports.
Yeah. Yeah. But get him some, preseason reps, maybe a preseason game, if they're even going to do preseason games.
Who is backup middle linebacker now?
Well, we don't really have a middle.
Yeah, well, who are the backups in general there? Maybe there's more of a shot than I thought. I mean, I know Mingo, and I know the new guy that we just drafted. And Isaiah Irving's back, but he's an outside linebacker. I have no idea who they signed to play middle linebacker besides the two obvious ones.
That's a good question. I guess we'll find that out in the spring.
How dare they not draft a swing middle linebacker?
Yeah, someone's complaining about that. I don't hear anyone else asking why the Bears didn't draft a back.
Yeah, somebody is. There's a Bob out there going to call the score tomorrow. I have a question for you. Now we kind of go big picture here. How much have the Bears improved, or have they?
This is a couple layers to this question here. One, they 12-4. 2 years ago was probably overachieving a bit, and then 8-8 last year was probably underachieving a little bit.
Considerably underachieving, so maybe a couple games at least. So yeah, they should have won the Raiders and the Chargers games. Done.
Yes, they should have. Yeah. So I say they probably should have been 10-6, 11-5 is probably more accurate.
I think puts
so
them right in
the last 2 years. Yes. Yeah. So, are they better? Yes, they are better because they seem to have a functional tight end now. At least it seems to point to that in Kmet, that he can't possibly be worse than Shaheen or, Merton, who, he just didn't do anything last year, didn't contribute at all. So there was no tight end threat at all last year. Now we've got two that can at least be functional.
Well, they play the positions that they're supposed to play, and they should know what they're doing, which is a step up from everyone but Burton. But Burton's busy being weird and injured, and so he doesn't count. And I do wonder how much of the offense falling apart was the tight end stuff, because everyone smears up and down.
Right.
That's the whole thing in that offense.
Well, you look at Kansas City. I mean, and Philly,
so
right.
That is better.
So the tight ends are going to be better. Therefore, the offense is going to be better just from that. Mitch is not going to be worse than last year if he's the starter. Then that's a big if. I don't think he will be. I think Nick Foles will be the starter, and he's going to be more. His big plays won't be better than Mitch's, but steady. I think he'll be
until he gets hurt, and then we'll need Mitch to be good.
Right, yeah.
Because playing behind this line is going to get Foles hurt. If it's last year's line, but hopefully it's better.
Yeah. Now, do you agree that you think Foles is going to be the starter week one?
Yes. Well, I think he's going to at some point be named starter. It's hard to handicap win based on Corona stuff. Like, is off-season start? Yeah. He does know the offense to a point. You know, some of those things could kind of screw up the timeline for him being anointed starter. Do I think he'll run this offense better than Mitch Trubisky last year? Absolutely. How much better is kind of the question. How much was that Mitch not trusting his legs and his – you know, he did have a shoulder surgery himself. I don't feel like that helps his inability to read a defense at all, but it might mean he was less productive because the legs were the big thing the 12-4 year that really bailed him out and kept defenses honest and opened things up, and then it was just gone. My concern is this. I think they're better at tight end. I think the pass rush is much improved. I think that's an underrated story still. I'm really worried that they think the coaching change is going to fix the rest of the offense's issues. And I can only remember one time where hiring a coordinator-level coach or under made a big impact on the team's performance fairly quickly, and that was Fangio, who was loved in NFL circles. Bill Lazor is not. And I know
he's got a decent reputation,
but so did Harry Heasted. So I'm just a little worried they're putting too much on this coaching change to suddenly fix everything when you're still running the same scheme with largely the same players who performed terribly last year at a key spot.
And you still have the same play caller.
Yep. I mean, the only guy
– I mean, Helfrich,
I could see the left side of the line being fine because the white hair – and Daniels were okay. And then Leno was really bad for Leno, but he's been way better in the past. And he's not old enough to decline. It could be just a bad year. But the right side's a bunch of bad players still. I mean, if Fetty's available because the Seahawks, like, we're tired of him holding, he sucks. And now we're like, well, that's just because he's really a guard, dummies. I'm sorry, but I kind of have to say I trust the Seattle talent evaluation more than I trust Ryan Pace's. Maybe it'll work out, but I still don't think they have a great right guard. And right tackle Massey didn't have a good year. I mean, he's older. So they're really counting on this coaching thing and someone else's trash becoming their treasure. And I'm just worried that the O-line could derail the whole thing again.
Maybe one of these 2 7th-rounders is someone who could slide into right guard.
Pig's a guard. Perhaps. And Ham's a tackle,
Oh, he is.
So that's why Pig and Ham, I want them on the right side day one. If we're going to be bad, I want it to be fun, man. How could you not root for Pig and Ham?
And then they got to draft, like, someone named Porkchop or, Bacon.
So are you bothered no QB picked?
I've gone back and forth because – I didn't think they would pick a quarterback.
I didn't either.
In the second round. I wouldn't have been surprised, but I just didn't think they were going to do it. And then 5th round, I thought they might, but I think they needed a burner more than they needed a young quarterback, especially in the 5th round. You're not getting, you're not thinking potential starter there. And, some people like to say, well, Tom Brady was a 6th round.
Yeah, my only issue there. I don't remember where he went. I know it was 5th, but man, I didn't want anything to do with Fromm early. But the idea of locking in a backup who's going to be around for a while and might grow or could be a stash and trade later, that was intriguing to me. And then that's what I guess I would have rather picked a QB there than the second corner. But he might be a good player, but I think
sense.
That there is some logic to being like, pick your Matt Hasselbeck every couple years. And I just, mm-hmm. again, they just never yep. draft quarterbacks, and it's pretty obnoxious. But next year, they're going to get your future QB for year. Sure, for the way the picks line up for the Bears. And, yeah, they might have to trade up to do it, but.
Yeah. So to get back to your original question, I think the Bears are going to, like, their floor is 9-7. I think their ceiling is 12-4. So I'm going to go with, like,
yeah, I think they're a fringe. No, not fringe. I'll say they're a decent, solid division contender wild card team, but they're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs unless we get remarkable improvement from the offense. But the defense is good enough
they
to
should win
definitely
the
get them there.
They should
I think so, depending on which Rodgers is playing. Like last year's Rodgers with the rest of their roster, another year where they're not as lucky, probably not a better team than the Bears. If he hits the time machine, maybe. No. And Minnesota's had a great draft according to everybody, but that still takes time to develop. And they lost a ton of talent. I just have a hard time thinking they're just going to cruise right to 10 wins, losing starters.
Mm-hmm.
And
Detroit. And Cousins had a really good second half of the year last year.
I don't think so.
Can you bank on that again?
You like that?
No, I don't think so
either. Dalvin Cook will get hurt at some point. He's due. Good as he is. He's injured frequently. I mean, obviously, I think you could probably, in a really lame take, say, well, whichever of those three teams is healthiest. But
yeah,
we're not here to be lame.
Okay. The Bears had their injuries last year, so they're due to be
guarantee
a
your
more,
front seven's healthy. I'll take the Bears' chances for sure.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, thanks for talking
thanks
some
for
Bears
having me.
Today and. Yeah, hopefully we'll be having some kind of normalcy in the July and into August. And well, I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe there will be games in front of no people. But
would that be any different than what normally happens at Soldier Field?
Come on. It's not I'm Cleveland. Playing,
but it's not loud. Remember Jay Cutler having to silence them when the Bears had the ball? That was a brutal moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. Well, hey, take care.
The Bears. The Bears.
Always good to talk Bears with my buddy Mark. And all in all, I think it's probably because there have been no sports to watch the last couple months. But I really enjoyed watching the draft, even the later rounds. Maybe. You know, I was just a sports sponge and needed all of that, but really enjoyable. And a little light at the end of the tunnel to say, you know what? Eventually, we will move on. Eventually. So, give me a little bit of hope. I hope for those of you that saw it, maybe you felt the same way. I tell you another thing that's been nice to watch with this shelter in place and all that is the ESPN special on the Bulls, the 90s Bulls, The Last Dance. That's just been exceptional. So maybe we can talk about that in one of these next few episodes a little bit. So, all right. Well, everybody hang in there. Take care. Look out for your neighbor. And let's get through this together. And hopefully on the other side, we are kinder to each other. And try to focus on the good that we can pull out of this weird, strange time. Thanks again for listening. See you next time on the Meatball Composer.
You've been meatballed.